Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Plady. While the war in Iraq may be over, the impact on the soldiers that served in it lingers on in many cases for a lifetime. One man who knows about the trauma of war is Dr. Todd Baker. He served for 15 months in Iraq as an emergency physician to the U.S. Army, heading a team of medics at Baghdad ER, the world's premier combat hospital. He describes the experience in his new book, Baghdad ER, 15 Minutes, which you can find at Amazon.com. And Todd joins me now. Thank you for coming on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, the title of your book refers to the amount of time that you would often have to save an injured soldier or civilian in Iraq, although I'm guessing that a lot of that 15 minutes would have elapsed as by the time the victim arrived to the ER. How frantically did you often have to work to save somebody?
Well, these guys would come in with no arms, no legs, and some amazing injuries. And our whole goal was to have 6 units or more of blood on board, large IVs, and chest tubes, or have them on bleeding machines within 15 minutes to try to get them to the operating room, stabilize, and get them to the operating room.
How much experience had you had working as an ER physician before you found yourself working in Baghdad?
I've been an emergency physician at that time, including my residency training, for about 6 or 7 years.
I see. So you were well versed in dealing with trauma. How dramatic of a difference was the Baghdad ER as compared to your ER experience previously?
Oh, there's no comparison. In the United States, we see mostly blunt trauma from car accidents or falls and things along those lines. Of course, every now and then we have gunshot wounds and stabbings, but in Baghdad, it was all day, every day, blast injuries from IEDs or rocket attacks or the EFPs. Of course, we had a lot of gunshot wounds as well, but it was a whole different type of trauma.
When it came to the equipment that was available to you in Baghdad, was it everything that could be found in an ER at a major hospital in the U.S.?
Oh, absolutely. The big difference, the equipment was just about the same. The big difference was the speed in which the equipment was ready to use. For example, tubes and the big IVs and lines that we would use, everything was right there at the bedside, sometimes pre-opened, pre-loaded, pre-ready to go, so that they could lay that traumatized soldier down on the bed in front of us, and within seconds we could have large IVs into them, getting blood on board.
You must have needed a huge supply of blood. How was that supply kept up?
The Army and the Air Force worked together, did an amazing job, and they would fly blood into us every couple of days. Large quantities would come in by helicopter, and it all came from the U.S., I believe most of it is from the Red Cross.
You were treating both soldiers and civilians. What percentage of the victims in the ER were Iraqi civilians?
About 30% of our patients were Iraqi civilians, maybe 30% Iraqi Army or Iraqi police, and then the other 40% were Americans.
I see. So in a case of these car bombs that would go off in public, were many of the Iraqis then taken to a different hospital?
Yes, many of them were taken to the local Iraqi hospitals there in the Baghdad proper area. There are several hospitals. The Iraqi civilians we cared for were usually the ones who were wounded in firefights or in engagements in which our troops were involved, or people that would come to our front gate. And if they had a life, limb, or eyesight issue, we would obviously treat them.
Did language or cultural differences cause problems in the ER when you were treating an Iraqi patient?
Honestly, language never did. We had wonderful translators that worked with us, and so to be honest with you, language was never an issue. Now, cultural differences, occasionally it could be. I remember we had one lady present to our front gate that had been shot in the head, and she was still awake and alert, and said, "The American shot me." And we rushed her back, and, you know, part of trauma care is we expose 100% of the body to find the other bullet wounds or the other blast injuries, you know, as fast as possible. And she was still awake enough to fight us, getting all of her clothing off, you know, and so just kind of cultural things there. And by the time her care was done and she had her surgery, everything was great. She told us it was not the Americans that had shot her, and she loved the Americans.
I'm talking to Dr. Todd Baker. He served for 15 months in Iraq as an emergency physician. He writes about it in his new book, Baghdad ER, 15 Minutes. You can find that at Amazon.com. Now, Todd, describe the typical day. Was there generally a steady flow of patients coming in, or were you often spending an entire shift going from one patient to the next?
It was real hit or miss. There when we first arrived, the troop surge was about midway through, and we were pretty steady and pretty busy. Every day we would see a number of IED injuries or gunshot wounds, and then it really picked up in the spring of 2008 with the al-Sadr uprising, and we got really busy. But then after that, al-Sadr called a ceasefire, and to be honest with you, the trauma stopped almost altogether.
When you're working and viewing this kind of horrific trauma that comes from a blast, how do you handle that as you're working, and is it something you became numb to after a while?
I think you could say that. You know, eventually you do become numb to this stuff, but it still affects you. However, when you're working on it, you know, all that matters is doing your job and saving that soldier or saving that kid. And so the emotional aspect of it, to be honest with you, during the heat of the moment, really doesn't come into play at all.
Were the soldiers, the injured soldiers, typically conscious, and were they interacting with you?
Occasionally they would be. It's kind of some of both. If it was a soldier that had really bad amputations, usually they would not be conscious. But if it was somebody that had a gunshot wound or more minor shrapnel injuries or something along those lines, they would be talking. And I tell you, so many times were just amazingly upbeat. I had one soldier who had lost a toe, and the first thing out of his mouth, he said, "Well, I'll never be able to hang 10 again. I guess I'll have to hang 9.
Now, how about your faith? How central was it in helping you cope with the difficulty of working in the Baghdad ER?
Well, I've got to tell you, faith is very important to me, and personally, God is my rock, and I don't see any way I could have done it without leaning on God. I'm a firm believer, though, that He won't give us anything we can't handle, but you still have to handle it, though. To me, it was absolutely what got me through.
Now, beyond the physical trauma of war, there is also the mental impact. It seems that being in a combat zone makes it unavoidable. How did you see soldiers coping with the emotional trauma of the war?
Well, you know, whenever they would come to us, it was right when they or their battle buddies had been injured. And so, you know, we saw a lot of tears and a lot of emotions during that time. But, of course, that was immediately after the incident. We really didn't have follow-up there, as our job was to stabilize them, move them on, and clean up and be ready for the next wave, the next vehicle. And so we really didn't see a whole lot of the after effects, if that makes sense, just the immediate point of care.
What are your thoughts about how soldiers are transitioned back to civilian life when it comes to their mental health? Do you think there is enough that is done to ensure that they get the proper support?
Well, I tell you, the military has really focused on this over the past several years and done a great job of prioritizing it. To be honest with you, I don't think the military is great at it, or even civilian institutions are great at it. It's such a new aspect and a new thought to think about these things, to be honest with you, these injuries that you can't see, but they're still there, you know. And I'm thrilled that now people recognize that there are injuries there. I still think we have a lot of progress to make as far as treating those injuries.
How about you? How did you handle the transition back to civilian life?
Honestly, not too bad. And you know, my job as an emergency physician, once again, it was the same there as it is here. Of course, amazingly different injuries over there and different disease patterns. But, you know, the way I look at it, I wasn't on foot patrol or out in a vehicle on the streets. I was a guy that, you know, that Uncle Sam asked to go and take care of our troops. And so I was honored to do it, and I haven't had too many problems.
I see. And you've returned to working in an emergency room now?
Yes, sir. I work in the emergency department in Branson, Missouri now.
I see. I'm guessing you're the only one there that had this experience in Baghdad.
In Baghdad, yes. Actually, one of my colleagues from the Army is here as well, and he spent time in northern Iraq also.
Well, very interesting stuff. Dr. Todd Baker, he served 15 months in Iraq as an emergency physician at the Baghdad ER. He outlines it all in his new book, Baghdad ER 15 Minutes, which you can find right now at Amazon.com. Todd, thank you very much for your time and for telling us some of these stories.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And we'll be right back to wrap things up. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.